It was 1 year ago today that the Gillard government slapped an immediate ban on all live cattle exports to Indonesia. The suspension was lifted 1 month later after new supply chain conditions were imposed on exporters. But 1 year on, the industry says it's still recovering. Indonesia has slashed its import quota, leading to job losses and hardship amongst beef producers. And the financial fallout could also hit the taxpayer. The government is now facing a class action for compensation, which could run into hundreds of millions of dollars. But the Agriculture Minister, Joe Ludwig, stands by his actions. He's speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine.
What we have done is put in place a secure supply chain for the future for this industry. We now have a system that ensures that exporters can control all the way through to the slaughter yards, the animal welfare outcomes for cattle that are part of this system. We also have a regulator that can then individually check which exporter makes a mistake or makes a slip and correct it, so we don't have to look at a suspension again.
But what evidence do you have that this has materially improved animal welfare standards in Indonesian slaughterhouses?
There's something in the order of 576 individual summaries of independent audits which ensure that animal welfare has been improving substantially throughout this system.
The problem first surfaced because animals were being slaughtered in Indonesia without being properly stunned. What's the stunning rate now?
What we now have is many of the exporters, about 75% of them, using stunning. Why? Because they know it provides a good animal welfare outcome for the cattle that go through the system.
Stunning is not mandatory. Is 75% the best we can hope for?
I continue to press for more because you're right, 75% is a good start in 12 months. What we then do need to do is to continue to press exporters and to continue to encourage exporters to use stunning wherever possible, because we all know it does provide the best animal welfare outcomes. And we have, as a government, look to see how we could continue to advocate for that across all of our markets, because we do think that this is a continuous improvement. We're certainly not going to wait around for another 12 months. We're going to continue to talk to our export markets, continue to look at how we can ensure that this industry has a bright future, manages its animal welfare outcomes in a way that the community expects.
Joe Ludwig, the live cattle trade may have resumed, but the industry in the Northern Territory and in WA is yet to recover. Jobs have been lost, land values are down, there's been a flow-on effect to related industries such as trucking companies, stock feed suppliers, feedlots and so forth. The industry was brought to its knees this time last year. Can it ever be as strong as what it was before June 7, 2011?
When I suspended the industry, it was about putting in place a supply chain that would ensure that this industry could have a bright future and grow over time. I understood there would be people who would be hurt through the process. It was a case that for the long-term benefit of this industry, we needed to put in a supply chain that would ensure that it could protect itself from slips, mistakes, accidents that occur, that it had a regulatory framework that had the confidence of the community, because this industry is a good industry, but it needed a supply chain to make sure that animal welfare outcomes were taken into account and the community's expectations that the industry was doing that was absent.
But when will the industry have that bright future? When will that bright future be realised? Indonesia reacted to the suspension by slashing its import quotas. It will issue permits for 283,000 head of cattle this year. That's down from about 520,000 in 2011. Indonesia lost face during the cattle ban. It can source its meat from other countries. Have we lost a large chunk of the Indonesian trade and lost it forever?
Indonesia does make its own decisions, and if you look at the decision they made around reducing their quota, that was part of a system where they had been moving for self-sufficiency for some time. It wasn't related to the suspension, and they say that as well. They have been moving for self-sufficiency, but they will always say, and they've said that recently to me when I went to Indonesia, that they will then still increase their demand as they require it. I continue to see that this industry, while it secures animal welfare outcomes, while it maintains the supply chain, that it can continue to grow.
But Minister, there are fewer than 100,000 Indonesian permits left for the rest of this year. So there's great competition underway up north to get cattle onto ships. The Indonesians have set a weight limit of 350 kilograms per beast. Conditions have been relatively good, so lots of the cattle have fattened up and exceed that limit. What's going to happen to this excess livestock? Can it be sold elsewhere, or will producers be left with excess stock, meaning more financial losses?
Well, we know that the 350-kilogram weight limit has been a requirement by Indonesia since before the suspension. This was a matter that they'd addressed back in 2010. The industry had been adjusting to that for some time. Myself and the Trade Minister have recently been talking to the Indonesian government about ensuring that there is some flexibility there. What we do also recognise is that Indonesia does make, it is a sovereign country, it does make independent decisions. And again, we are looking at other markets, Egypt, Turkey and many others, to provide an outlet for our cattle.
And any indication from the Indonesians that they are prepared to increase that weight limit?
It's one of those areas where we continue to have dialogue with the Indonesians. It would be remiss of me to go into the individual conversations that we have with them, but we always continue to press for more flexibility, greater certainty around the permits as well.
Joe Ludwig, Minta Ellison has prepared a class action on behalf of 21 clients. Beef producers claim they've lost hundreds of millions of dollars and they want compensation. Is there anything you can say about that?
Well, it would be inappropriate for me to comment on matters that may be subject to action before the courts. But I will say this, is that I've kept the best interests of the trade in mind from the beginning and I'll continue to do so. But if you look at the industry before, self-regulation failed. Self-regulation did not ensure animal welfare outcomes. Self-regulation with part of the industry representative bodies did not work.
Agriculture Minister Joe Ludwig speaking with our political editor Alison Carabine in Canberra. It's 7:50 on Breakfast.